It's getting late. It's time for our Savior to come, to stand up and say, it is finished. To put on his kingly robes and comfort his people with a retinue of angels with him. And so I pray that each one of us has that in our minds. And as we look at it, the law, the Ten Commandments, the covenant, we've heard it time and time again. But yet not enough, really, to be able to have that law in our hearts and to live according to the way that God wants us to do. So let's have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we may exercise the faith given to us from thee. We thank thee for Jesus as our Redeemer and our Savior, the Holy Spirit as our Comforter. We pray that we allow the Comforter to work in our lives, to guide us and direct us. We thank thee for the commandments, for the Sabbath. And thank you truly for the relationship that we may have with thee. Guide us and direct us on the pathway that leads to the eternal life that is promised to each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. To live the law in our lives. All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. All the words which the Lord has said, we will do. How many times have we said that today ourselves? And have we kept that? Have we kept that word? We're going to really talk about the law today, and not the, you know, the covenant itself, you know, there, but the occurrences of that. First time in the Bible is in Genesis 16:8, verse 18. But with thee, talking about Noah, will I establish my covenant. Then it continues in Genesis 9, several verses where the word covenant is used. We know that the covenant is a promise, an agreement, a solemn agreement between two or more persons or groups to do or not to do a certain thing. It also means compact, means league, means contract. And we know that God takes the sole initiative in all of the covenant, in the word covenant. And that covenant is with men that he wants to have with us. And so we do see that his covenant fulfillment in the Lord Jesus Christ. To obey and to observe all the words of our God and our Savior. I don't wear a watch. My cell phone's in the car. I don't have a clock to go by. So without the children's story, maybe you'll get out early. Maybe you'll get out late. You know. But I haven't worn a watch for about 30 years. I used to catch it working in the stock room. I used to catch my arm and tear my arm off half the time. Yeah. So I quit wearing a watch, you know, for that. We know that God's covenant is a relationship of love and loyalty between the Lord and his chosen people. People of Israel of old, the people of today, his chosen people. Covenants made with Noah, Abram, eventually Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with Moses, with the nation of Israel, with David. And we know what happened with some of them because of the people not keeping that covenant promise. We will do all that has been spoken. And God's covenant is central to the whole Bible. And it relates to his covenant purpose that he has given to man. That man be joined to him in loving service and know eternal fellowship with him through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. So we know that he keeps that covenant. And we'll look at the law of the covenant to know that God has made an agreement with man, as he did with Noah in the very beginning. That he made a covenant also after the flood, that would not destroy the world in a flood again. We see the rainbow as that solemn promise that he gave to Noah and to the people then. And if we had turned to James chapter 2, James chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. James 2, 8 through 12. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now if thou commit no adultery, yet thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye and do so as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. And yes, it is the law of liberty, not bondage. That's the way that Satan would have us to believe, that God's words are not true. That Satan has a better way and a better plan. But we know that the plan of God is true and faithful and worthy. And as is said there about offending the law, is it possible to keep the whole law but offend in one sin, on one point? We know that any sin condemns us to death. It is because of the disobedience of our first parents. Death came upon humanity, the whole human race. And the law is like a chain. That as long as all links are together, but if one link is broken, we know that the chain is of no use. And when did that law come? In the beginning. If you would turn to Exodus chapter 31. Exodus 31. Our scripture meditation for today. But let's start with verse 16. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tables of testimony, tables of stone, written with the finger of God. Yes, this is the only writing in the Bible written by God himself. It's so sacred that he could not trust it to man. Moses did write the law of ordinances, but the Ten Commandments was not entrusted to him. And we know that God had to write it twice. because Moses threw down the first ones and broke them. We can look at the covenant law of yesterday and look at the covenant law of today. Call it the new and the old. And what is that difference in our day today from the one so long ago given to the people just before or just after leaving Egypt? And if you turn to Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after these days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And then if we look at verse 9, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when it took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continue not in my covenant, and they regarded them not, saith the Lord. And if you jump all the way back to Exodus, Exodus chapter 19, verse 3, 19:3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. Verse 6, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before them their faces all these words which the Lord commanded them. And the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And we know what happened. Them saying that they would do all that was spoken to them. And it's the same with us today. The Holy Word, the Bible, given to man so that they may know God. Not just not know him, but know God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at the main difference between the covenant of old, which had the foundation in the Ten Commandments law that was made with the people who immediately broke it. Didn't take very long for them to do that. We know that the new covenant is based on the covenant made with Christ in heaven, our substitute and our surety before the foundation of this earth, culminating, finalized on the cross for the Lord Jesus Christ to receive this kingdom, to receive this earth that was lost by the first Adam. And God's people today are obligated to keep this law, to keep this covenant, as he gave it to Israel of old. And I say obligated. We are to keep it. And yes, we do have a choice whether to do so or not. But we know that that is not what God wants of us. He wants us to keep it. And we know that God never did away with the law, as is claimed. Go to Psalms 89. Psalms chapter 89. And verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the things that has gone out of my lips. And God has never changed. God does not change. He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. It is because he said so. we can take this word of God as truth. And that really should be all that is needed for us to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, because God has told us to do. But we have our own minds. We have our own wills. We have our own way of doing things. And sometimes it's hard for us to change. But to do and to live the life that God wants us to live, because he said so. And Jesus came to do something. If we turn to Isaiah chapter 42, we will see what he came to do. In verse 21. Chapter 42, verse 21. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. Yes, he wants to make that law honorable in our lives, to show us how we can live with the law in our lives, just as he did when he came to this earth in the flesh, become our example, and finally to become our substitute, paying for the sins of mankind. And the church of God is to be united in proclaiming that gospel message of our Lord Jesus Christ, to magnify it to the whole world. Are we doing that job? We are to be a united army. I pray that what is what the Seventh-day Adventist Church, an army of the children of God, entrusted with his word, entrusted in giving the gospel message to the world. And we know that each one of us right here, it's the area where we live, where we work, it is our mission field. We don't have to go across the Atlantic Ocean, across the Pacific Ocean. Our missionary work is right here where we live. So we know that we have a work to do. And that if we try to act like Christians and don't keep the Ten Commandments, how much Bible truth do we really know? If you turn to John, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And we can't have the truth without the Holy Spirit, who is sent to us to be heirs of the salvation. And as we are studying the unity of the church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have to be in unity. But yet we know that we have many differences among the leaders, among the body of Christ. We have to overcome those differences and come together to be in unity, to be able to give the gospel message as God wants us to do that. And it is told, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Are we ready to do that? I hope that we are. And what is sin? I don't have to tell you. We know it. We know what sin is. And we know that we can't sin without it falling under some category of the law, and that is the Ten Commandments. If you would turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and verse 31. Do we then make void the law through the faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. We know that this is the beginning of establishing the law in our own hearts. The law has not been done away with. Continue transgressing his just and holy law, or perfect obedience to his law. Ellen White tells us in manuscript number 5, 1885, we know both the Father and the Son when we talk about the law. The Father gave us the law, and the Son died to magnify it, to make it honorable. And yes, that's what our Lord Jesus Christ did, dying on the cross. But then we're told that we're not under the law anymore, but we're under grace. That's Romans 6:14. And that's been what I've been told many times today. The one gentleman I used to work with, that was always what he said all the time, that he was under grace, he wasn't under the law anymore. So when are we under the law? Or when are we not under the law? It's only when we break the law. If we don't break the law, then we're not under the law. But we are under grace. And I praise my God, my Holy Father, that we can have that grace. His grace and his love for humanity. And what was the law written for? Romans chapter 8, verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ came to fulfill the moral law. If you go to Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin, that the promise of faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. In verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster, to bring us under Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And yes, the moral law, to be justified by faith. Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. And to live as he did. To try to follow the footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can take a mirror or looking glass, as they call it in olden times. If we look into it, and if we see what we don't like, we can change it. So maybe I can start growing hair again if I see that. But it does. We do change it. We look back to the past, see the mistakes made from the very beginning, down through the ages. We read about history and knowing all the mistakes that were made, and that we try to correct them in living the life that we need to live today, that is following the law of God, his Ten Commandments. So we just see that. We know that God has a will for every one of us. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 3. Chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And they're not. To keep these commandments is not grievous. We need to keep each and every one, especially the fourth commandment. Are we keeping it to the fullest of what it tells us to? In most cases, I don't believe so. To take the Sabbath day from sundown Friday night to sundown Saturday. We see really that the world revolves around the weekend. Of course, they use a week during the week too for some people, but usually it's the weekend, especially Saturday, when everything is going on. To give that up, to keep the Sabbath day as God has asked us to. We know that people are willing to do away with God so that they can do away with the law. And we know that this is satanic. Several years ago, we know that there was a God is dead movement. But we know that human hands can never touch God. God is here to stay. There's nothing that we can do to get rid of God. He loves us that much. And we know also that the new covenant is a sign of sanctification. Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13. 31:13. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. And then if you would jump to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 20. And I hope these two verses, you have them underlined in your Bible. Verse 12. Moreover, also I gave them my Sabbath, to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them. In verse 20, in hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. And what is that better covenant that Jesus now mandates to us? Hebrews chapter 8. This is our last reading for today. Hebrews 8, verse 6. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Yes, this covenant established on his blood. So that we may receive all of the graces that the covenant embraces. Oh, for us to keep the law, keep the commandments, to live for Christ. Say that. And it said, I am the Lord your God. We will keep all the words that thou hast spoken to us. I pray that we will do so. We know that time is short. Our Lord Jesus is coming soon. We need to be ready. We need to help others be ready. We know that the world is going to be caught unaware, doing all that they are doing. But we don't have to be caught unaware. We can't be ready for the coming of our Lord. And I pray that we will. Yes, our Heavenly Father, we pray that we can be wholly thine. That through the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ, one day we may be able to stand before thee as we have never sinned. to have our Lord Jesus Christ by our side. He is our everything, Father. We thank you. We have said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Yes, Father God, to save the world. We know that you made that covenant with our Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, for him to come down and pay the penalty for sin. And we see that that was fulfilled on the cross and through the actions of our dear Lord. We pray that we make the reaction to the calling, to the high calling of our Lord Jesus Christ. Guide us as we go from this place and anything that comes before us. We pray through thy word that we may be overcome through the power from on high, from heaven. Guide us and direct us, and we pray that we will truly ask for the Holy Spirit to live in our lives this week. In Jesus' precious name, amen.